Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I tell my congregation that I still get nervous when I get up here. So I tend to sing a song to try to calm myself down. And I'm just going to sing a verse because I know we got to get out of here and I want to give you all the message as quickly as possible. May his peace be with you till we meet again. May his peace be with you till we meet again. Till we reach that distant shore and we shed a tear no more. May he give you strength to endure till we meet again. Till we meet again. Amen.
Amen.
Plus, I don't know what my throat is doing this morning. I want to talk to you all from the subject, the end of days. And there is I won't say a misconception, more like a misnomer in the understanding of the text. The text that lets us know when the end will come. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 through 14. And I'm not going to read all the verses, but I do want you to study that text, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 through 14. In that text, it describes a situation that's going on through prophecy. And through that prophecy, it speaks to us about the end of days and what the end of days looks like, and letting you know when the end of days will arrive. Because again, what the misnomer is that we don't know when the days will end, or that we don't know when the end will come. The scripture clearly tells us when the end will come. And I'll read that to you. Starting around verse number 4, the Bible says this: Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed, no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will receive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." Let me start here. Verse number 11. "There will be many false prophets who will rise up and deceive many, and because of this lawlessness shall abound. The love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved." Verse number 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as witness to all nations, and then the end will come." The end of the world will come when all of the world has heard the gospel. And once all the world has heard the gospel, then the end will come. A lot of people are always concerned with the brand new disease that comes out every other week. There's always the brand new. You got COVID-19, super COVID-19, maximum COVID-19. And they use these tactics to try to scare and put fear into you. But Jesus has already said, this will happen. Famines are going to happen. Pestilence are going to happen. This is going to happen. It's the beginning, but it is not the end. The end can't come until all the gospel is preached, and then the end will come. This is why this is our job. You may feel like we are speeding up the end of the world. Don't matter what you think. God gave us a command. The command must go on, and then the end will come. This is how everything works. If we stick to the Bible and we stick to the Word, we don't have to try to sit up, scratch our head, and figure out what God is doing. God has already told us what he's doing. So what is the problem? Why do so many Christians think that they know when the end of the earth is coming. You know, remember the guy Nostradamus? Remember he predicted the end of the world. He said the end of the world was going to happen in 1864, 1865, something like that. He said that's when the end of the world would happen. Well, it didn't happen. The Mayans said it would end in 2010. It didn't happen. Prince said he was going to party like it was 1999. I was waiting on 2K because I thought, remember when they said all the computers were going to shut off? And it was going to reset everything? Who was waiting on that was me. Because at that time, my credit was so bad, I was like, please reset everything. Reset it all. So I can have 800 credit like everybody else. But that didn't happen either. Man is always trying to predict what God has already told us is going to happen. It's not going to happen when man says, I really wish people would stop trying. Every week, every month, every year, somebody going to show up talking about who they are. They the new Jesus Christ. And they're going to tell us when the end of the world is coming. The Bible says that this is already foreshadowed. This is already foreseen. I've already told you there are going to be people that are going to show up that are charlatans, that are fake prophets, false prophets. And they'll tell people anything that they want to hear. And people will believe it. Even though the word has already forewarned you not to believe it. So what is the situation? We need to explore this text. You need to read and study this particular set of passage of scripture because it is a part of the sermon which the Lord Jesus preached on the Mount Olivet and to let the people know what they should be looking for, to let his apostles know, to let the disciples know what they should be looking for. And we still have to be worried because there's still false prophets out here. And some of these false prophets are in the Lord's church. Amen. Telling people exactly what they want to hear. The message came about as Jesus and his disciples were in the temple, and Jesus told his disciples that the temple would eventually be destroyed. But he also told them that he'll rebuild the temple in 3 days. And nobody believed him because they were like, how can a man rebuild a building in 3 days? Because he wasn't making a building with hands. Amen. He was talking about a spiritual temple. Amen. He knew that he was going to have to die. And be buried in a borrowed tomb. But he also knew that he would be raised up in 3 days. The temple would be buried. The temple would be destroyed. And then he would be raised up and the temple would be rebuilt. Amen. They couldn't see it because they were looking with their mind's eye instead of looking with their spiritual eye. The Bible lets us know again. Jesus is describing the general world conditions during the period of his ascension. And that's the ascension is when he returned to heaven and the time immediately preceding his second coming. Jesus let them know to take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that nobody lies to you. For many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ, and they will deceive a whole bunch of people. And they will there will be wars and rumors of wars. There's still wars and rumors of war. Every time you turn on TV, there's a war going on right now. You got a man over across that water in Russia threatening nuclear war. He ain't playing. He is not playing. But what can we do? Sit around and wait. Because Jesus said it's going to happen. And this ain't going to be the last one. You may not even know that. This is not going to even be the last one. But what we have to do from the very beginning, Jesus warned his disciples that many people will be deceived as they anticipate his return. There have been many times in history where the church had to deal with rash predictions that were made and then rely upon Jesus Christ to guide them through the disappointment, the disillusion. And then he also let them know that there's going to be a great falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. There's going to be a time, and I believe that time is right now, when people will not accept the faith. They're going to move away from the faith. And they're going to be more receptive to something that fits into their lifestyle. That lets them believe that they can live any way that they want to live. I can shack up. I can fornicate. I can commit adultery. And it'll be all right because God is a loving God. And certainly he won't punish me. But that's what you leave out about who God is. God is also a just God. And if he's a just God, then he's going to give you justice. So if you've done wrong, you deserve to be punished. And that's what God is going to dole out. He chastens those that he loves. Amen. Just hope you receive your chastening here and not in the judgment. God moves different. Jesus said, just understand that these things like false messiahs and wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes have certainly marked man's history since the beginning of time, but it is not the end. Earthquakes in California. You know, all of these things have just happened to California in the last 6 months. Earthquakes, mudslides, fire. I'm beginning to think God don't like California. I'm just waiting on pestilence and famine. That's the only thing that haven't happened to California yet, but everything else has. But the Bible says these things are going to happen all across the world, all around the world. And sometimes these are man-made situations. The famine that happened in Africa wasn't because of what God had done. That's because of greedy people that wasn't feeding their own people. Sometimes we create the famine. But the Bible doesn't say where the famine comes from. It just says that it's coming. We have to believe God instead of believing in God. Everybody believes in God, believes that... Believe what God says. These are the beginning of sorrows. None of these events individually are the specific signs of the end of the world. Collectively, they are a sign of what Jesus described as perilous events at the beginning of sorrows. He literally called them the beginning of labor pains. Just as with true labor pains, we should expect the things that he mentioned. Wars, famines, and earthquakes, and so on. We will become more frequent, they will become more frequent and more intense, and they have. You got more level 5 and level 4 hurricanes and tornadoes than you ever have seen. It was snowing in Los Angeles. Snowing. It was snowing in Las Vegas. If not God, who else? People who issue signs and say things like God doesn't exist. When people saw snow in Las Vegas, they knew God was real. That you still need to wear your coat in March in L.A. It was near flooding in San Diego, and they tell me it never rains in Southern California. But what I want you to understand is with all the things that they tell us about looking like the end of the world, sounding like the end of the world, this is not the first time or the first major epidemic or the major events that have happened in the world. In 1918, we're looking at a situation called the March Genocide. It happened between March 30th and April the 2nd. What happened in 1918? 3,000 to 10,000 mountain Jews were killed during this time by their own people. In 4 days, in 1919, what is called the Kiev pogroms. What is a program? It is an organized massacre of a particular ethnic group in various places in Kiev. Kiev is where a lot of the conflict is going on right now. But it was happening in 1919. And what happened is that there was a group called the White Volunteer Army. Their own people. There were a total of 1,326 of these programs, and they went across the Ukraine at that time. And in that time, they killed between 30,000 and 70,000 Jews. And almost a 500,000 of the Jews that were left alive were left homeless by their own people in 1919. This is not the first time that region has seen conflict. And that's a lot of people to die in a short period of time. In 1939 to 1945, this is the Jewish Holocaust. 6 million Jews, nationalists, including about 1 million children, died at that time systematically. That means they were killed by a program. They were set up to die. And they all died in cruel, fascist ways. Not just like being shot or something like that. They were starved to death. They were worked to death. All kinds of, and the children as well. We look at 2018. Let's come to date. October 27th in Pittsburgh, in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a shooter named Robert Gregory Bowers, he was 46 at the time, killed 11 people and wounded 6. Because he said the Jews needed to be eradicated from the earth. So he just went up in their place and began shooting them up. We have to be careful when we keep saying all of this looks like it's happening now. No, this has happened before. Jesus has already predicted it. In 1492, between 1492 and 1650, pre-Columbian America estimated an indigenous population of 112 million people. That's in America, both North and South. So again, when they tell you things like Columbus discovered America, again, that's a falsehood. How do you discover something where people already were? That's like me coming to your house and saying, I discovered it. You already lived there. The assertion is ridiculous. But there were 112 million people living in America at that time, and what they experienced between those years, 1492 and 1650, were smallpox, measles, and the flu. That's why I'm saying people sitting up here concerned about COVID. Regular diseases killed almost 100 million people. Regular disease. People still, they, I can't go out because of COVID-19. I can't do this because of COVID-19. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about COVID-19, but understand the flu, measles, and everything else still killing folk. Before we say we can't do something and blaming it on a disease that's relatively brand new to you, but not brand new to the scientists, COVID-19 is the flu. It's a super flu, but it is the flu. And the flu been killing people a long time. From the late 1400s to the early 1900s, this is a tough topic, but I got to give you the truth. An estimated 12.4 million African men and women were transported to the Americas to be enslaved. An estimated 1.8 Africans died en route. That means 1 million people died before they ever got there. 2 million people. And what the official United Nations research puts the death toll to the African that came because of enslavement around 17 million. But what the real study shows is it says that the death toll is actually somewhere between 60 million and 150 million. This is why that is the greatest crime in world history. But Jesus already predicted. He already told you these things would come to pass. In verse number 7, he refers to pestilence. He tells us that the tribulation period will be a time when diseases will run rampant among the human family. Again, this is referred to in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 8. The world has seen such plagues in its history before, in its great societies, long before COVID-19. Much deadlier than COVID-19. Case in point. There's a thing called the Antonian Plague in 165 A.D. And in that particular period of time, a plague which broke out, which was basically smallpox and measles in the city of Rome and from soldiers returning from Mesopotamia, unknowingly had spread the disease in Rome and killed 5 million people, decimating the Roman army in 165 A.D. Then we have the Black Death in 1346 to 1353. The Black Death killed had a death toll of 75 to 200 million people. COVID, on record, hasn't killed anybody anywhere north of 5 million people. See what you're afraid of? God has not given us a spirit of fear. If we do the research and we get let our knowledge grow, then we learn that we have to trust God more than we trust these scientists that's telling you you can't do something. It has already happened. Jesus said it would happen. And it's happening because he said it would. It has to go down this way. We can't avoid it. The Bible lets us know that there was a flu pandemic in 1918. Between 1918 and 1920. infecting over, infecting a third of the world's population. A third of it. At that time, there was an estimated 3 billion people on the planet, and a third of them had the flu, and it was killing them. I often wonder what people were doing before vaccines, before medicine. I wonder what people was doing before glasses. Was it a lot of people falling off in the ditches? What was happening? We put too much into people's, man's technology instead of in the Word of God. I just want, what was ancient man doing when he didn't have glasses? He couldn't see then either. They was nearsighted then too. You had to trust God. Now, I know everybody wear glasses, and we glad God gave us technology, right? Amen. And let us drive a little bit longer. Because if without these glasses, I couldn't go nowhere. I would need her to take me somewhere. But I just wonder what was happening to man before these technologies. We can even get something in that. How did people know what time it was without the watch? They had to look up. They had to say, what? The sun that God put in the air. This is how I tell time. And you know what time it was? Daytime and nighttime. We make stuff too complicated. The Bible says this. In the same verse, the Bible lets us know that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world as witness to all the nations. And why is that? Because again, in the same verse, many false prophets will raise up and deceive many. And because of the lawlessness, because of this lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures until the end shall be saved. But nobody can be saved if there is no gospel being spread. And if there is no gospel being spread, then salvation can't be reached. And if salvation can't be reached, then hell is where we are all bound. Romans chapter 10 verse 15 says that it has to be done. And how can they hear without a preacher? And the preacher ain't the one dressed in the nice suit. The preacher is us. I'm sorry. I'm yelling again. It's us. They can't hear without us. Without us, the world falls deeper into condoldrum of sin that it is currently in. When we should be, as Christians, looking for the end to come. You should be looking for the end to come. You ask people all the time, Christians, who want to go to heaven? Who want to go? Just three of y'all? Okay, everybody? All right. Do you want to go right now? So you put your hand down. Because you got to die to get there. You got to die to get there. People are afraid of death, and your Lord and Savior said death must happen. Yep. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then after the death, what? Cometh the judgment. What you ought to be concerned, I can't be afraid of God, God already told you what's going to happen. What you should be concerned with is how you are living. So that you can meet death, the death you know is coming, with your eyes wide open and not hoping, I hope I make it in. No. You will know you're going to make it in by the life that you lead. And you don't have to concern yourself with stuff you know is coming. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Oh, I got to go. This message is way too long for this period of time. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you revile, when they revile you and persecute you and say all evil things against you falsely. For my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus is telling them at the sermon. I'm sorry, it was chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Jesus is telling those that are listening that if they talk about you because you're doing the things I commanded you to do, that's good. That's all right. Because you're doing what I'm going to take the hit. I'm going to take the brunt of the pain. pain. But you're going to have to go through some stuff because you got to do the work. Amen. You got to do the work. And because he said, don't worry about it, he said you should be exceedingly glad. That means you ought to be jumping for joy that they're talking about you. If you tell somebody you're a Christian, they be like, oh, you're a good two-shoe. I'm glad you think I'm that. I'm glad you think I work for God. I do, and I'm happy about it. I'm not afraid. Like, people out here in the world really are afraid of when the end is going to come. And they think all kind of things going to happen. Zombies going to come. Asteroids going to fall. Dinosaurs going to come back. They think all kind of stuff that's going to happen. The walking dead, they got to create stuff on TV because they don't want to accept the word of God. Who want to live in a world with a bunch of dead things running around trying to eat your brain? I think that's a depraved mind that even come up with stuff like that. We just got to believe in God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Your Bible tells you everything that you are going to go through. The Bible says if you do the work that he commanded you to do, you are going to suffer. Amen. Now you ain't got to worry about it no more. You don't have to be ashamed of going out here proclaiming the gospel of Christ, thinking that somebody going to talk about you. I'm here to tell you real quietly. They going to talk about you. Everybody ain't going to like you. But first of all, your mama should have told you a long time ago, everybody is not your friend. Everybody out here ain't going to like who you are, especially if you're a child of God. They not going to like that. They're not going to like because they think you got an upper hand on them or that you're judging them. Don't judge me. I tell them real quick, I'm not your judge. God's your judge. And if you already living disproportionately to what the scripture has said, then you've been judged. If you're a fornicator, you've been judged. If you're a liar, you've been judged. I don't have to say nothing. Plus, you already know it's wrong. What I gotta say? You only feel bad because I brought it to light. But the Bible says, whatever is done in the dark is going to do what? Come to the light. You are children of the light. Children of the light, your job is to bring sin out of the dark where it want to hide to the light. That's your job. We cannot be afraid to do the job that God commanded us to do. We are a city set on a hill. And a city set on a hill cannot be hid because it is a city of light. The truth has gone quiet in this world. The end can't come till the truth get out. We got to stop playing, church. What do we want to do? We want to let people know that the gospel shall be preached in all the world. And what is that gospel? That is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Jesus Christ who died on the cross, who had nails driven into his head, who bled and died for you and for me so that we would have access to salvation. That is that gospel. That is what they're afraid of. That's what the devil don't want to get out. And I'm telling you, for the end to come, the message must go out. Or we're going to have to keep living in this crazy world where they keep telling us up is down and down is up. And as Christians, we want to be at home with our Father. How long do we want to stay in this place? We have to get to work. What must happen? Then there are five steps to salvation that must be told in order for somebody who's seeking soul salvation or asking, what must I do to be saved? There are these things that we must tell them. We tell them that you must first hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we tell them that they must believe the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then after that, they must repent. They must turn from their sinful way and turn their face back to God. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that those sins might be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord. And then after that, the Bible says you must confess the sweetest name ever spoken on mortal tongue. Romans chapter 10, Verse 9 through 10, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then after all of that, after you've heard, believed, repented, and confessed, the Bible says you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. John chapter 3 and verse number 5, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then after you've done all these things, you have to remain faithful until death. Revelation says this in chapter 2, verse number 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. The end is coming. It's our job to give the world the gospel so that the end may come. Don't worry about COVID. Don't worry about earthquakes. Don't worry about floods. Don't worry about fire. Don't worry about hurricanes. They name the hurricane something different every year. Don't worry about it. Hurricane Tisha, Tasha, Tusha, whoever they name it. It's coming. But as people of God, we have to believe God and not just believe in God. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and let us sing the song of invitation.
I am rejoicing.